This is the Closer and Closer podcast, where we bring creatives from all over the world together for you to learn from, relate to, and be inspired by. As fun as creativity is, we know it can get really lonely. So our LA-based agency is bridging that gap with weekly conversations with inspiring creatives to help you grow your career. Let's get started. Welcome to the Closer and Closer podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Andrea Mejia Madriz, and I'm a part of the artist marketing and partnerships team here at Closer and Closer. Today, we have our wonderful guest, Jessica Koh, with us. She is the CEO and co-founder of Playbook.com, a visual cloud storage platform for creators. She was a designer for over 10 years at Google and Opendoor and is now working to make it easier for freelancers and designers to share their assets with the world. Welcome, Jessica.
Hi, Andrea. Thank you for having me. This is great.
Of course. Yeah, I'm so excited to have you. I feel like for the listeners that don't know, we've worked together a couple times, Closer and Closer and Playbook, on a bunch of fun different projects. And I mean, I feel like our missions are just so perfectly aligned that we were like, oh, no brainer. Jessica's got to be on the podcast.
Thank you.
Awesome. Okay, so we'll start where we always start. I feel like the listeners got a little snippet of this in your bio, but as I was doing my like usual LinkedIn stalking of the guest, I realized that you have worked, like your bio mentioned, in so many different positions, and a lot of them in creative positions in design. So can you just give us the lowdown, like the full story of how you kind of came to your professional career and how you ended up founding Playbook?
Yeah, of course. I sort of became a designer later in my 20s. I think I got into engineering because I had that math and science brain. And then back then I went to college back in 2000. So back then the UX was not a big thing. It existed as, you know, smaller departments and everywhere, sort of like, you know, back in the days of Microsoft or Google was starting to form. So UX was not a big thing like this today, where it's like there's people whose brain is both math and science plus art kind of coming together, building the interface of or experience of web app or, you know, iOS app or mobile app and things like that. So so I got into engineering and went through to become a software engineer. And I've spent, you know, good like 3-4 years just being an engineer. And then I kind of realized myself, I started out as more of a back-end infrastructure engineer, slowly moving my way up into the stack level to do a lot of front-end stuff and start getting into JavaScript. More on the front-end side, I love the colors. I love how I can just kind of move things around. And then I got into Google as that, just the web development. And then I discovered this department called user experience. And I was like, what is that? That's when I started to really like obsess about it almost. And then the people who work there and what they do. And then I just, kept going there out of my, you know, work hours just to support them. If they need anything done, like prototypes, I was there. I would spend all night building prototypes for all the designers. And then I kind of come to realize it's like, oh, I see what they're doing. This is so cool. And I did that for about 2 years, and then finally they took me in.
You had to basically freelance for them for 2 years before you were on the team officially.
Yeah, because I was not a UX designer, and then so kind of push myself into this world of UX, and then I just like loved it. Every bit of it. I built interfaces for product, lots of, you know, different Google product, and finally my last stop is inside Google was YouTube. And then also doing a lot of the user interface side of it, and then I got really curious about whole startup world, design and branding, all that stuff. So I joined a small startup called Opendoor, real estate company, and then basically did all of their first branding, all of their first product interface. Design all of that stuff, just, you know, being sort of the first designer, you get to experience everything and seeing how the marketing operations work from my angle, being a designer. I was able to provide hard skills to all these people, all these teams. And then in return, I get to kind of see it, what's going on over their shoulders. And that's how I got to understand how marketing and, you know, like actually what you do, marketing partnership. Because, you know, inside Google, you're so inside the product, you don't get to see other departments and what they do.
Yeah. And it's such a big company, I'm sure, that like it's, you know, those people are working so far away from you and in such a completely different place that you... You know, you don't even get to see what they're up to.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, exactly. I start just absorbing all these startup, you know, operations, loved it. And then I slowly grew my team, design team at Open Door, at both brand design and product design. This is very like, very, this is a common sort of like a structure. Or first design to become a head of design, and then kind of like overseeing both brand design and market product design. And then did that, realized I was not super interested in people management side aspect of it very much. And then, but I really wanted to just keep building product and, you know, with all the operations stuff that I learned about startups. And that's how a playbook came about. Of course, the problem I was experiencing at Playbook, Open Door, actually play a big role in creating what is Playbook today.
Yeah. Okay. I have so many questions. So let's take it really far back a little bit. Like as a young person, as a child, teen, were you always into creative things? Like did you have a creative practice from the beginning, or is that something that you found a love for as you kind of, I guess, had to do it at Google a little bit more and more, and you kept getting pushed into the more front end part of software engineering? Is that where you kind of realized like, oh, I actually have a knack for this. This is something that I like doing.
Yeah, I did. Looking back, I think I did. I never learned like true like art, you know, painting or drawing. But I dabble into it a little bit, and then, I got very into it at some point that I was actually thinking whether I should go to art school or engineering school.
Got it. Okay. And at the time, because you didn't know UX wasn't really a thing, UX, UI, you were like, it has to be one or the other. I have to choose one.
Yes, exactly. I was not exposed to a lot of, because I'm a child, like a child of immigrants. So,
yeah.
and then my dad does very different thing, like civil engineering. So it's like I was not exposed to it's a little bit of exposure, right? Because if you like grew up with a doctor family, you tend to be a doctor. Seeing how the world works through their, you know, parents' angle, I never got to experience all of those startup and tech world, or all, you know, being in Canada. Also, I was not exposed to Silicon Valley stuff, like entrepreneurship. What is entrepreneurship? I don't know.
Absolutely.
But yeah, that's how I sort of navigate around the world.
Yeah, no, the reason why I said I totally understand is I'm the same way. My family's immigrants as well. And when I was first choosing what to do, my mom was basically like, well, you can be a doctor, you can be a lawyer. Like that's the two options. That's all there is, you know, because yeah, I didn't have that exposure. And it wasn't until I went to college for I started off pre-med that I met my best friend who was a year above me in university. And so I was basically just like watching her as like a 17-year-old and seeing what she was doing. And she wanted to do marketing. And so she was a communications major, and she had a digital humanities minor, which is basically like using data in like the humanities fields and like how to do that. And just by watching her, I was like, oh, like that's really interesting. I really love that. And that's kind of how I ended up just copying everything she did. I always joke, like, I would not be where I am today without her, because I copied her major, I copied her minor. I would ask her, like, what internship she was doing and try to find something similar. But it really is, like, if you don't have that example of somebody doing what you want to do, it's very hard to kind of figure it out for yourself. Because these paths just seem so clearly defined, you know?
That is 100%. It's always serendipity too. You run into somebody who does it, and then it kind of opens a whole world, like a different part of the world that you haven't seen before. And then getting that ton of like, you know, exposure to it. There's multiple times that happened. And that is like going in from engineering to design. Like I found somebody that was doing UX that was became a friend of mine, just seeing everything over his shoulders. Open Door was also extremely serendipity too. It's like I was just having lunch with someone day, and then he just happened to, you know, interview at this place called Open Door. And then and the Playbook idea came about when I ran into my current co-founder too. I mean, we had some sort of an idea, but it just kind of became this like a huge thing when we started to kind of brainstorm and ideate together. It's like all these things, it's running into somebody constantly.
Yeah, exactly. And it just takes that one person.
Exactly.
Yeah, it just takes that one person to unlock the thing that you probably wanted to do all along. You just didn't know it was there.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. So then, yeah, so now we're at Playbook. We get to kind of the idea of Playbook. How did it all begin? Like, what did you and your co-founder kind of start talking about, and how did you get to that idea and decide like, wait, this is something real, there's something really great here? And then what gave you the confidence to kind of take that leap?
Yeah, so it's it happened during Open Door when I was managing brand design team. Brand design tends to support marketing operations, so we tend to, like, you know, all that stuff that, you know, designer, we do like cropping, making sure that we were creating social ads. You understand all these things?
Yeah.
Exactly. You're like probably nodding. Yes. All these things, like, all the design assets, visual assets gets created by brand design team, make sure they're on brand and they look great. And then they represent, you know, our brand. It's a whole lot of operations. There's a lot of creativity, but there's a whole lot of operation that go in there with the cropping, and then makes you sure that files are organized so that anyone can find it, and eventually, and then it gets like tucked away into this Dropbox folders. And then, of course, like brand design, you know, if the earlier employee leaves and a new employee joins, they don't know where things are, so everything gets to start over again. And then it happens over and again. And then eventually you have you're dealing with 10,000 photos with so many different designs of direct mails. So you're doing all the social media things that you have tucked away somewhere in the Google Dropbox. And I'm not the most organized person. So for me, it's like trying to find where things are and then constantly getting pinged from finance team because they have to build some kind of deck for a presentation. And then board meeting, like my CEO will ping me for stuff. It's just like at some point we're just like looking and grabbing things from folders, and really didn't want my team to spend 90% of time just like looking and like, you know, finding things for other people.
Yeah.
So that's why I was like, okay, maybe the whole file system doesn't really work for visual files. Maybe we need much more sophisticated browsing experience and searching experience. And then so me and my co-founder started looking to this whole world of digital asset management. And then, okay, that digital asset management is like basically a Dropbox, but for visual assets, but for enterprise teams. It's not very approachable. It's not accessible to anyone, especially for people like artists, you know, freelancers. They will never see this like digital asset management like application because it's made for enterprise teams. I want much more approachable ways of people trying to use digital asset manager, but also a much better version of what it exists today.
I love that. No, yeah, when you were talking, it was just so funny because I think creatives especially, they're not ever the most organized people. Like, that's always something that we struggle with, like people that are creative. My files are just all over the place and it's so horrifying. And at Closer and Closer, we run into this problem pretty often because we're pretty much everybody on the team, or like a lot of us, are creative in some capacity. And so, you know, we're always like switching from one thing to another and trying to figure out what works. But Playbook has been like such a great asset to the team because it just works, and it's something that makes sense, you know, like you have to have that visual aspect or else it's not going to work for the artist. It's not going to work for the team because it is just such a visual field.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of design teams love it because there's always this one person who's really good at organizing.
Yeah.
And then they set it all up so everyone just else kind of comes and grab, and then it's like, it's just beautiful.
Yeah, exactly. You got to get the one ops person on it, and then they'll figure it out for everybody else. Awesome. Okay, so now that we know how you got to Playbook, I want to get a little bit more into you as a creative and as like an analytical brain, because I think that's something that is really unique and that you don't see everywhere. And it's super special. And I think, again, like I just said, like creatives don't tend to be the most organized, and they're not always the most, like they tend to be very highly emotional, very good at what they do creatively and thinking outside the box. But sometimes when it comes to those harder skills of like organization and time management and things that, you know, it seems like you are really great at, they struggle to develop that. So mm-hmm. I wanted to ask, like, how do you keep both of those sides of your brain sharp? Do you have any creative rituals that you do? Do you have anything that really helps you to stay organized and stay on top of things as a CEO and a founder that you could give as advice to other creatives?
Yeah, of course. It's very interesting to look at brains of brand designer and product designer. Mm-hmm. As somebody like, as you know, I was managing both teams and then realized that my management style is completely different between these two. The work mm-hmm. itself, the type of work is very different. So brand design mm-hmm. is much more short term. It's like boom, 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 like project management. Whereas the product design, it's much more logical. It's like a study, research, make sure that everything feels like, it's just understanding like user journey and then understand the technology of it. So, communicating to engineers how mm-hmm. to build things. So it's very logical. There's some artistic aspect to it, but a lot of it is very rational.
Yeah.
But whereas brand building is very much like emotion. So they're much more truer form of artist, actually, when you go into brand design of a business. To manage both, it's like it's the opposite, you know.
Yeah.
Like it's on the spectrum of things, it's like, holy crap, wow, this is like this part is very artistic, very emotional, and then this part is very logical and rational. It's weird, I think, because a lot of it is their brand design side is like they're creative, but the organization skills are kind of all over the place. Like some people are really good at it. Some people are just like, they have no folders. Everything is just up in the finder. So the work styles is also different. People who tend to come from design agency tend to be pretty organized. People who are extremely visually talented tend to be unorganized. It's interesting, but they all have that kind of strength because people are extremely talented with creativity. It's like they need to things that see they see things very differently. They kind of spread it all into one layer, and then they go first mm-hmm. principle. They kind of connect all the dots, and as something beautiful happens, like idea comes about. So it's their style.
Got it.
Without that, it's like that's how their brains work. That's how their thought process mm-hmm. goes. People generally who are very organized is very system oriented. That means they're very good at building systems or design systems, make sure that their patterns that match everywhere. They can mm-hmm. actually look at all the colors of blues and then see which one's like off. And then it bothers them when that happens. You need both to run a very successful function because the one is way too creative, way too unorganized. One, it makes sure that it's grounded. It makes sure that business runs, even if like, you know, the entire brand design team leaves like tomorrow, there's a system left behind. There's a process left behind for others to come in and start, you know, working, mm-hmm. Business as usual. I would say it's like it's understanding what your style is actually much more important than trying to be something else, because then you can fit yourself in the design system and know what your roles are. Knowing your identity is actually much better. And then once you have kind of identified your weakness, not necessarily you have to like constantly change it, like change the way that you are, but more getting by, do the basic things to get by. So. Mm-hmm. I can give an example. I'm a very unorganized person.
Yeah. Me too.
One layer of everything. To get by once in a while, like, you know, once every quarter, I will clean out some of my, you know, downloads, download mm-hmm. assets. I would use things like playbooks that I can just search and I don't have to like organize in a way that's categorized. Categorization is probably my enemy of everything. So anything that helps like tools that, you know, that if I think that this is important, and then I understand the consequences of putting somewhere that I could never find, then I try to do the extra effort to put things somewhere so it's easily accessible. Things like that, like bare minimum I could do. And then I would work with somebody like my co-founder, who's extremely organized as well, who just keeps all the notes of everything. Every meeting, there's always, he leaves notes, put it somewhere that it's accessible for everyone. So it's like you pair, when you find somebody, your kind of other half, or you find somebody that's like different than you, and then you kind of get by as a team.
Yeah, no, that's, I think honestly, that's the best advice, because I think what, and you know, a lot of our artists are, all of our artists are freelancers who basically before they joined Closer and Closer, they were doing the entire operation themselves. But that's something that we see all the time and that we talk about all the time, is that it is like physically impossible to do everything on your own, because there's just always going to be things you're not as good at. And I think your note of recognizing what your strengths are and like recognizing how it is that you think is so, so, so important, because if you don't take the time to do that, then you're not going to know where your weaknesses are, and you're just constantly going to feel like everything is out of control. When in reality, it's like, no, I got this part down. It's just this, these one or two things that I'm not as good at. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, finding people who make you better and finding people who can help you with whatever it is that you're not great at, even if it's like, you know, an assistant that helps you like once a week just to like get your files in order, or just to like make sure that you answer all your important emails. You know, it seems like a bit of a waste, because sometimes like, you know, training somebody initially is like really difficult, and like figuring out how to work together can be a challenge. But like once you find somebody that really is great for you and that really supplements those areas that you lack, it makes everything so much easier. Like I can't even, yeah, it just is such a dream. And it feels, yeah, at first you're like, why am I going to give away part of my paycheck or like part of the control when like I can do this all myself? I've been doing it for years, but it really does pay for itself in the end.
Yes, absolutely. 100%.
Yeah. Do you have anything that you look for in team members? Like when you were building your playbook team, what were kind of some key attributes, and maybe even when you're working with freelancers or like outside people for Playbook, what is it that you look for? Like, are there any key qualities that you're like, oh, this is going to be a good collaborator?
Oh yeah. Yeah. So I love seeing people with potential. I think that's generally my strength, but I don't, the downside of that, of course, there's always two sides. I love people, I like discovering talent, and I would just keep promoting, make sure it's throwing work, like difficult work at them. Just like, I want to see them grow. It's almost like watching a movie, like character development is so fascinating to me. That's like my joy. So I tend to sort of look at people who are not quite, who are not specialized just yet. So they're kind of like still like molding. So, and then there's just like, you know, spark of something. There's a little, I sense a bit of like intelligence in somewhere, but they're not quite doing the thing that, you know, that they want to do yet, or they don't know what they want to do. I tend to love those type of employees, especially for earlier stage of a startup. We're a little more well into kind of starting to get into specializations a bit.
Yeah.
But I think back then, that's what I loved. I just like look for people who are just like, who can do weirdly like two things decently well, or just kind of like the combination of two skills really well, or the intelligence somewhere that I catch that I feel like, I think this person could be really great if I just keep, you know, building on top of that.
Yeah.
So those are, the downside of that, of course, is that I tend to miss out a lot of specialization, which actually, that's when my co-founder comes in. He actually look at things at face value, like how good are you currently at this job? It tends to be his job, which works out really well for engineering, because it requires a lot of specialization skills. But I'm still a dreamer. So. But I still look for those people.
No, I love it. I think that's such a great, that's such a great piece of advice, because I think that's something you see everywhere, right? That it's not necessarily like, you can always specialize later on, and like you can always learn new things, but like having that innate ability of like, I see something in you, that's something so special that you can't really pass up, I feel like, as a founder.
Yes, exactly.
Awesome. Cool. Well, I'm going to move on to another question because we're getting halfway in now about, and I want to touch on kind of our partnership, Closer and Closer in Playbooks, because that's been such a fun thing to watch grow and to be a part of. Because again, like I said up at the top, our missions are so aligned, and I think our artists just love working with Playbook. We do, we're in a 5x5 presentation with our artists. It's basically these presentations where we bring our clients together with our artists and just like let them get to know each other and get to know each other's work. And like, you would not believe the number of artists that have included the Playbook illustrations in their presentations, because it's just like such amazing work that y'all do together. So I do want to touch on that real quick. And, you know, yeah, like I said, it's been such an amazing thing. And I think that project that you're doing, I don't want to get too far into it because I feel like you'll explain it much better than I will, is such like a great way to champion for creatives in like a really tangible way. So for the listeners who don't know what I'm talking about, can you talk a little bit about what these projects that we've worked on together are?
Yeah. Oh, they're so great. Every single one of your artists just are incredible. They're so talented. So
we think so too.
I think it was like started, I think last year. It might have been last year, or could it be this year? It might be this year. So every month we wanted to kind of give away illustrations to our community, Playbook community. And they're most of the time, 99%, they're all designers or photographers or artists. So they're the followers, the fans of like artists, other artists.
Yeah.
They're appreciated so much. So we work with CNC Closer and Closer artist to create a set of illustrations. We collaborate together, and then we basically, it's almost like a sponsorship. So they we create something together, and then that's usually, you know, like 12 to 20 like illustrations of their style, of their choosing, their own topic. And then we take care of all the marketing side of things. Like, we blast it out to basically our community as like, you can download these, illustrations for free. And then usually the people tend to collect those things because they're really cool.
They're so beautiful.
They're so beautiful to look at. So people tend to collect things. They sometimes put it in like, you know, their own kind of business, like, you know, material, sometimes put it in the business deck to make it kind of, you know, make it beautiful. So, I think work with a lot of artists so far.
Yeah, I can't even count the number. I feel like it's like up to maybe 10, like close to that.
Yeah. It was like just managing the operations side was crazy, but everything was so worth it.
Yeah, I was going to say that's a lot of projects running. I'm sure that was wild, but Where did the kind of idea for giving those away come from? And like, why was it that you started doing that? Because I don't think that's something that most file sharing companies are doing.
Why did I start with a giveaway? That's a great question. How did this all begin? I think part of me is like, I think we did something for, you know, most startups already sort of kind of do. We start interviewing artists. It's also part of our product research process, understanding how creatives like store their files or things like that. We did that a lot last year. And then every time, like coming out of like these interviews, we get so inspired. These artists are like nuts. They're like, their stories are beautiful and they're so creative. Being creative is like really hard. Just putting something out there for everyone to judge, but they do it. They just constantly do it. And then, so they're extremely brave at the same time. And we've been sort of telling that story through our blogs, you know, interviewing these people, but there has to be something more. It's like, let's do something a little more fun, like more visual, which just aligns with our product, Visual Cloud Storage. And then do the exact same thing, but they can tell, you know, their visual kind of, their styles out into the world. And coupled with sometimes interviews as well to kind of give a little backstory. I think that's where it all began. And our community just appreciate it so much that they love it.
I'm so glad. I think it's such a cool thing because obviously, like, not only does it probably resonate a lot with your community because they are all creatives and they're like, wow, you know, that's like me, you know, that could be me one day. Or, you know, that's like you're using the community that would already naturally use the product to then market the community. And like, it creates just such a level of, I think, like social, like, what's it called? I always forget this word, but like social, like capital, like it's just, you know, they trust each other because it's artists promoting a product for other artists. And, you know, like our artists wouldn't get involved with it if it wasn't something that they believed in. So I think it's just such a genius way to like get the product out there for more people and also like get new artists on board and just show them like that this is something that can really help them. And it's just so organic and beautiful. I love it so much.
That's great. Thank you so much.
Yeah. And then this is, I asked this to, we had Kelly Wahlstrom of Envoy on the podcast a couple weeks back, and I asked her a similar question, and I'm interested to get your take on it. Because I think like tech startup companies get such a bad rep a lot of the times for their creative. You know, it's like there's been a whole, there's been a lot of, you know, op-eds and stuff published about like the tech look or like the tech creative. And I kind of wanted to ask, like, why you work with like a lot of different artists that have a lot of different styles for this. And I suspect I know where your answer is going to go, but I'll ask it anyways. What made you kind of want to go so far left from what is like typically expected from a tech company or like that typical tech look?
Yeah, the typical tech look. I'm visually like imagining it or just picturing right now.
You can see it in your head very vividly. We've all seen a lot of it.
It's just like fashion. There's a trend. So I think brand design tends to be very trend following. And there's some brave ones, but they're not that far away from current trend. It's usually just a little step further. But they're a little bit more, not like crazy, like fashion out there, because in the end, we're still selling a product. We're still selling a service. You, if you go too far, you will never be able to, you know, communicate with just regular users who are usually like other tech employees or other people. So it is somewhat restricted. It's constrained. That's why you see this like same look on over and over again. If there's a pattern that's trendy, but you go too far again, it's too much for like a, you know, audience to.
Yeah.
So it's a finding that right balance of like going a little brave at the same time, like not too brave. So it's still commercialized. That's the sad part. It's in the end, it's not art. Tech design is not an art. Like it's not expressive. It's not supposed to be expressive of anything. And then usually the founders, they have to be brave themselves, because when brand agencies like kind of, you know, showcase their work, their examples, all the things that they could do, like all the, because brand agencies can be really creative.
Yeah.
So they come up with like some really fantastic campaign idea, and it's up to the founders to be able to have to say yes or no. And most of the time founders are not creative themselves. So they tend to kind of stay on the more safer side. So it's too much. Let's scale it down to something that's a little more.
That makes sense.
Not so crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes total sense. And I think it's I like that you mentioned, like, I don't think you said this in so many words, but you alluded to it, that like sometimes there's a reason why things get trendy. Like it's not, you know, it's not always some, just because something's trendy doesn't necessarily mean that it's not a good thing. And I think, you know, that's what you see in tech illustration is, yeah, you're so right. You have to communicate something at the end of the day. Like you can't just be completely wild and artistic, because the whole point of branding and like branding, illustration, all that is to communicate what the brand is. And like at the end of the day, if it's a tech company, yes, it can be different, but it has to, at the end of the day, like communicate that it's a tech company. You can't go too crazy to where people are like, what do you do? Like, what is going on here? And I think the playbook has balanced that really well. And I think obviously the creative lean helps to kind of get it out of that that exact look, you know, because you have that creative lean as well.
Yes, exactly. And usually the bigger the marketing team is, it's harder to push anything kind of crazy out there.
Yeah.
The more people review things, it tends to get normalized. I mean, it becomes more scaled down, because people tend to stay on the more of a safer side, generally. They don't want to rock the boat.
Totally.
So that's why big companies have a hard time revolutionizing the brand part of it. The smaller company have a little easier time with it.
Yeah, it's definitely a little bit easier. That is awesome. And then why was building, I kind of want to hear a little bit more, because these illustrations that we've worked on together also speak a little bit more to like community building, and you have the blog, you know, you have all of that aspect of Playbook that is outside of the product itself. Why was building a strong community and like the community aspect of Playbook so important to you? Like, why do you think that was something you were really keen on?
Building community, I am looking back. This was last year.
It's crazy. It wasn't that long ago, but it feels like it was millions of years ago, 2021.
Yeah, I think it's a natural, these days, it's a natural user journey to see what other people are doing with it. It's actually so much more powerful in getting the user onboarded than trying to learn things using like, you know, start guide, like by reading start guide or anything, like, you know, just poking things around. It is, there's some products out there that they do this really well too. It's like, you know, when you share a Figma link with someone, people can see how people use Figma. It's unconscious sort of psychology that you pick up what other people do. You're just looking around and see what the people do with it. It's so much more powerful onboarding UX than anything else. So for me to sort of build community was around that. It's like, I have very little patience when it comes to learning a new tech or new app, because there's way too many products coming in.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for all the, you know, all the users out there, like, you know, trying to understand how one product works and the other product works. I think it's just to help them, like, you know, visualize everything. I'm a very visual person. I am also very experienced. I learn by experience. So me just poking around, you know, all those onboarding thing when you click on like one, two, three, like read. I never read.
Me too.
I just want to poke around and I want to see how people want to use it. So that came from trying to get our users to a good place to really send a message that Playbook is very different than most other cloud storage. That's where the community came about.
I love that. I love that. That is so wonderful. Yeah, I love, I mean, Closer and Closer is obviously all about community. It's literally basically in the name. So that's always something that I'm really interested in, because I think people forget just like how important community is. And I've been in so many places in my life where you're working towards a mission and there's literally no way to get there if you don't engage the people around you and like make them all work towards the same goal. And I think it's really great when like companies are aware of that too. Awesome. Okay. I think I'm going to ask one last question to you before we go. But I want to ask you what your favorite part about working with artists and creatives is. What is it about it that just like sparks your joy?
Wow. It's like, creativity is, I think it's a form of like an intelligence, like it's a high intelligence. And it's also, you know, like I said, the being brave, extremely brave to put something out there. And it requires craftsmanship, which takes years to build. When all three things kind of meet is like something beautiful happens, you know, just something like spectacular happens. And I see that in every artist that I work with. Closer artists also, they're brilliant, all of them.
Thank you.
Again, just putting that stuff out there with that kind of high, like excellent craftsmanship is just, it's incredible. I think it really shows how much humans can achieve in that sense, pushing the boundaries constantly. And the ability to use colors like that, ability to use, you know, visualize things like that. I just appreciate it so much. I think it's a quality. I'm not a true form of an artist, but I appreciate it. Yeah. And there are a lot of people in the world that appreciate it, even though they can't be that. So that's why I think it's really amazing to work with these people.
Absolutely. I could not have said it better myself. I don't know if you've heard me say this. I say this to like everybody, but I always say I am lifelong creative adjacent. So like I'm not creatively talented, but I love being around other creative people because of what you just said. Like it's just so astounding to see what they can do, and you can't help but be inspired by that. So I love that answer. Awesome. Cool. So before we wrap up, before we go, first of all, Jessica, thank you so much for being here. This has been so fun, and I just loved getting to know you a little bit better. But before we go, can you tell the people where they can find more of you and Playbook if they so wish?
You can find me on LinkedIn. I'm usually around on LinkedIn. That's like my form of like social media consumption.
Love it.
And then you can email me, jessica@playbook.com. It's very easy to remember. And where else am I? I'm usually kind of hanging out in our Discord channel too. So we tend
Oh,
to
love it.
answer users. They're super fans, and we hang out with them. We listen to their bug reports and our feature requests and things like that there.
Love it.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, of course. This has been fun.
I'm so glad.
This is so great. The questions are fantastic. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Closer and Closer podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review to get the latest episodes. To find out more about how Closer and Closer connects commercial artists with their dream clients, strengthens their careers, and more, head over to our website, www.closerandcloser.co, or sign up for our weekly newsletter, The Dose.